All right, time for us to check in with Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun. Vaughn, we're talking public safety this morning.
Yes, we are, Simi, because what's actually happening out there differs regularly from the government's assurances that they've got the matter in hand. It was major in question period yesterday. The opposition, BC United leader Kevin Falcon leading off, asking about what the heck's going on out in White Rock. I mean, the community out there must be traumatized. Two stabbings, one death in what, 2 days, 3 days? Same attacker suspected. Falcon asked the question. MLA for White Rock, Trevor Alford, asked the follow-up questions. Solicitor General Public Safety Minister Mike Farnworth gets up and says he has absolute confidence in the police. They have the matter in hand. He's sure that the perpetrator will be arrested and that he'll be sentenced to a long term in prison. I don't know, Simi. I'm not sure I would bet on that being the outcome. There's too many examples in BC right now of things not working, of what is called catch and release justice in BC. And it seems resistant to every effort the provincial government has made to get the problem under control.
Right. And there's this case in Prince George as well, right?
Yeah, it's Prince George MLA Shirley Bond that raised it. But it's actually here in my beloved city of Victoria. So let me see if I can give you the executive summary. You've got a carjacker who has attempted or succeeded in stealing 4 cars in 2 days. And the reason we know it's the same guy is because after each one, he's been arrested. He's gone in front of a judge in some cases. And they've done what they do in the justice system. They let him go with conditions. He immediately goes out, violates the conditions, tries to steal another car, gets caught, gets arrested, haul back in front of a judge, and repeat, repeat, repeat. He's 9 charges. We know the guy's name. It's in the papers here locally. Shirley Bond recounts all this to the House in question period. It's there. It's the last question in question period. It's a very succinct summary. And she says, if that's not catch and release, I don't know what is. And I have to say, she's absolutely right. This is how the system actually operates in British Columbia. Never mind what the public safety minister is telling you about how the government's got the matter under control.
Right. So what was the response then in question period to these pressures and questions?
Well, that's pretty much it. Well, Solicitor General Mike Farnworth gets up and he says, you know, police are on the job. I have confidence in them. They will gather the evidence and they'll put it in front of a judge and the person will be convicted and they'll get a long jail sentence. Well, there's a lot of ifs in that statement, and I would be with the members of the public that are both fearful about all of this and go to White Rock, or just appalled and outraged here in Victoria. This repeat carjacker who the police keep in arresting and keep putting him in front of a judge, and the judge does what they do. They attach conditions and let him out because that's the way the system runs. And he immediately goes out and violates all the conditions and tries to steal another car. Like, what? You do wonder, like, how do you deal with this problem? Do you put a 24-hour police guard on this guy to keep him from doing what seems to be his practice, which is, there's a break and entering in the middle of this, too. There's someone injured in the middle of this. I mean, it's incredibly traumatizing. And this is Victoria. You know, we had Simi, another story in Victoria recently, headline in the local paper. There have been 7 stabbings in downtown Victoria since March. So in the last month and a half, 7 stabbings. And they say, oh, well, you know, statistically, that's not an outlier. Well, I think you got right there, Simi, why a growing number of Victorians are avoiding downtown Victoria because they don't regard it as safe anymore. And I'm sorry to say it. I've lived in Victoria for 40 years. I love the place, but this is not what people associate with Victoria. longtime residents anyway. And I'm guessing it's the same response out in White Rock. You know, Kevin Fulton said in the House yesterday, he used to represent a Surrey riding. I think the number of times he's walked on the waterfront in White Rock, down by the pier and everything, and two people stabbed, one dead in the space of 2 days.
And no, thing is, the government's going, they're going to have to come up with some kind of response that sounds better than that, because they're going to get hammered on this.
Well, yeah, especially because, Simi, they, you know, remember, they're initially David Eby, when he was Attorney General, statistically, there's no problem with violence crime, right? The stats show it isn't. Well, then he got persuaded by the mayors of the province and by the former deputy chief of Vancouver, Doug Lepard, there was a problem. Statistically, it was serious repeat violent offenders. So provincial government put on a huge push to get Ottawa to change the criminal code to make it easier to deny bail to repeat violent offenders. And it took Ottawa a while. They finally did it. So we declare victory. We got them to do it. They did it. Is there a major change since then? Well, the government says it has some statistics to show that repeat violent offenders are being detained and denied bail more often. But the thing you hear back now from mayors and councillors, Simi, I heard this from the mayor of Kelowna the other day, there are repeat vandalisms, people who just smash windows, people who steal cars. They don't necessarily fall into the category of repeat violent offenders. They're enormous nuisances and threats in their communities, and you never know when they're going to veer into violence. And so that problem isn't solved at all. You know, it's, as I said, I agree with you. They are going to have to come up with better answers on this, because unfortunately, tragically, sadly, these stories continue. And, you know, every week there's one, whether you go with White Rock or Victoria's serial carjacker. You know, the opposition is right to keep bringing these issues up, because everything the government says it's doing to curb the problem and cap it and bring it under control is clearly not working. Statistics, it's very easy to quote statistics. One devastating anecdote, like what's going on in White Rock or this carjacking story in Victoria, undermines any number of statistical reassurances from politicians.
All right, we're back talking with Vaughn Palmer. And yes, of course, we're talking about the latest developments in Surrey policing. This is just now, to me, Vaughn, it's a battle that's being fought in public.
Yeah, it is. And it's being fought with news releases and releases of reports and allegations and accusations and some pretty bitter invective. It does one, you know, We get a fair amount of coverage out of this, and I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm not a taxpayer in Surrey, so I kind of just look at it from a distance here in Victoria, where we have our own problems. But this latest exchange, look, I start with this. Anytime in my business, you get a report that the government withheld for a year and wouldn't let people see and made people sign non-disclosure agreements if they wanted to see it, anytime you get that report, the first thing you look for is, what were they hiding in here? What was in this report they didn't want us to know?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, the mayor of Surrey, Brenda Locke, has come out and said, look, this report says, it's a Deloitte report commissioned by the government on the cost of policing transition. She says, it says in the report, there is a scenario in there, one of three, where it would cost $75 million more to go with the Surrey Policing Service than to stick with the RCMP. And Locke says, we're looking at 10 years of transition when you add up all the costs. That's where she gets the number $750 million. So the number is in there. And because it was in there in a report that the government didn't want you to have, I think it adds credibility to the number. Now, Mike Farnworth, public safety minister, comes back and says it's not a fair comparison, the $750 million. He says that it is based on assuming a larger force for Surrey Policing Services than the RCMP. So it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. Province is also pointing out the report was done before the recent pay increase for the RCMP. They got 8%. So if you throw all that into the scenario, the $750 million over 10 years is just one possibility. It's $75 million over 1 year. You put number over 10 years, it's bigger. So we go back to farmers saying the mayor is being disingenuous and the mayor is saying she's got a bombshell and this is why farmers been hiding the numbers from the public. I don't think yesterday's exchange is going to persuade people in either camp.
No, it's not.
But I do say that Farnworth would have more credibility on this issue if he'd given us the report a year ago and let people draw their own conclusions, because we're getting it now. And the reason we're getting it now is because the government had to disclose it as part of this court case they're fighting. So a year ago, he used non-disclosure agreements to keep Surrey councillors who were given the report from talking about it. And now the matter is before courts, and naturally people are going to go, ha-ha, well, look what he was hiding from us. Well, he was hiding it from us. Now, you can argue that it's not a fair comparison, but they could have said that a year ago. It's not a fair comparison. By sitting on it for a year and having it come out this way, it adds credibility to farmers' critics.
What's so frustrating about a day like yesterday, Vaughn, is that back and forth that you just described there is that, sure, okay, there's an explanation for these numbers, but you got to go all the way, they get it, they explain, then you got to go back over here and ask these questions. And you think this is kind of ridiculous what this has become, this going back and forth just to try to get some answers on this.
It is ridiculous. And, you know, what you've had on this, I would argue, is the provincial government having changed its mind and saying it was going to make Surrey stick with the Surrey Policing Services, and then trying very hard to manage the messaging around that, to make it look like it was over, like Surrey had no options, like Surrey didn't have any credibility. And in the course of doing that, of message managing and trying to control what people knew and understood, they withheld stuff. You know, if they'd thrown everything out at the beginning, thrown it all out and said, we're here to answer your questions,
yes,
we can explain this, they would have clean hands on this issue. They don't. And as a result, you know, Surrey is fighting back as Surrey can. That doesn't make everything Brenda Locke says, you know, believable or sure or true, because, you know, she's withheld stuff too at different times. But it's a battle between a Goliath that is the provincial government with all its powers and legislation and legislative majority and all the MLAs in Surrey, and a municipal council, okay, BC's second largest city, but fighting a rear guard action against a provincial government that's using all of its powers to impose on Surrey something that the Surrey mayor and majority of council do not want.
Okay, so I know there'll be more to come on that too, but I wanted to ask you as well about what is going on with these comments about Dr. Bonnie Henry.
Yeah, I was surprised by this. We went through a long period under the NDP where, you know, Premier John Horgan was Dr. Bonnie Henry's biggest fan, the way she was managing the pandemic. Anytime the government wanted to deal with a controversy, they would refer to Dr. Bonnie Henry's judgment. And my opinion, Dr. Bonnie Henry, although there was a lot of controversy, she got most of the big things right in managing the pandemic. It's understandable why the public was impressed with her. So this week, we get the premier expressing frustration with none other than Dr. Bonnie Henry. I certainly don't recall John Horgan ever criticizing her. And it's all about a report that Dr. Bonnie Henry commissioned that she didn't tell the premier about. So this is a report commissioned from an American expert on decriminalization and safe supply. And Dr. Bonnie Henry commissioned the report. The opposition asked for it in the House on Monday. And the premier came out the next day and said, first I ever knew of the existence of that report was when the opposition asked about it. And he said, I had my staff look into it and Dr. Bonnie Henry commissioned the report. And if you want a copy of it, ask her. He said, it's important to have an independent medical health officer, chief public health officer like Dr. Bonnie Henry, but it's also frustrating when they do something like commissioning a possibly controversial report, when they do something without telling the Premier's office. So Dr. Bonnie Henry has managed to frustrate the most powerful man in British Columbia.
Interesting.
This is unusual. And Simi, the report, we don't know what's in it yet, but I'll just say this. Katie DeRosa reported this in The Sun yesterday. The author of the report is on record as being critical of one aspect, at least, of safe supply and decriminalization. He says it is a mistake to try too hard to destigmatize drug use, because if you do that, you end up with more drug use. So I don't know what he said in this report. We're told now that Dr. Henry will release the report in her own sweet time. She is independent. She can do this sort of thing. And, you know, the Premier is frustrated by her. Well, he's not the first person in British Columbia to find that Dr. Bonnie Henry is the master of her own agenda and decisions and judgment. And I would say she gets things right more often than not.
Vaughn, thank you for that.
Bye-bye, Simi.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.